Philippians chapter 3, beginning verse 4. Let's all stand. We're going to talk about the life of the Apostle Paul. And I think I've got a lot of good things to say about it. Beginning with verse 4, Philippians 3. Though I might also have confidence, Paul said, in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. I mean, Paul was realistic in his comparison because he was a very avid Jew. He was a very avid Christian hater. He thought he was doing it in God's service. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. He was very good in the law. Probably the one everybody pointed to and said, look at Paul. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Why did he say all that? If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, or I've not yet achieved. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God, please speak to our hearts tonight. May the Holy Spirit anoint the words that I've studied and the words that I'll say tonight. Please glorify yourself, magnify yourself, help us to see pretty much how pathetic we are in the flesh. There's no good thing dwelleth in us except the Holy Spirit. And God, let him have his way tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This is a message that I preached 30-some years ago, and I probably preached it close to 35, 40 times. I don't know how many. I haven't preached it now for a long time, and I got thinking about it, and the outline has always stuck in my mind on this sermon. This one thing I do. But then he names three things. One thing. God wants one thing from us. Us. Amen? The Apostle Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. Paul saying to the Philippians, I have not yet attained. Anybody that thinks they've attained a whole lot, generally speaking, hasn't. Because they're comparing themselves probably with the wrong person, the wrong thing. We're going to talk a lot about that tonight. But if anyone could have, claimed to have attained spiritual maturity to the max, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He's not here, and I'm sure if he were here, he'd say, Brother Joe, don't say that. Right. I think that's what he would say. But I think in Scripture and what we've seen, I think we could say, just below the Lord Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul's an awful good person to follow after, to try and be like, to try and live like. And we have it recorded right here in God's Word. And what's in here is true. And what's in here is said by God, not by Paul. It's under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul suffered. He suffered imprisonment. He suffered beatings. He suffered shipwreck. Close friends turned against him. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Do you understand how the pastor feels when he gets up here and says, he doesn't call them by name, but people that have forsaken us. Now, I understand some move on and go to other churches. I could probably live with that. But how many have forsaken us, having loved this present world? Looking back at the things, man, the older I get, now, not too many of you in here that are older than me. I can point out a couple or three, but I won't. Four. Five. But I won't. But I am finding that the older I get, the lure of this world is absolutely losing its appeal in my heart. And I thank God for that. And I don't say that to magnify me. I say that because the Holy Spirit is finally getting control. I was 70 years old before that really come about. And I'm telling you, I love it. I love my life right now. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And no matter what God puts in my life, I'm ready for it. Unfortunately, we compare ourselves. As we look around, we compare ourselves to other Christians. But you know who we usually pick? The lower level. Well, Lord, I'm not that bad. I mean, look at that. They've been a member of this church for X amount of years, maybe longer than I have. Maybe they've been saved longer than me. But Lord, look at them. I'm not that. That's not a proper comparison. We as a church sometimes compare ourselves to other doctrinal positions. And I'm probably as guilty of this as anybody. But I'm coming to the point in life that if somebody tells me I've been saved, I love the Lord, and they don't cross their T's and dot their I's like me, I'm not going to fight them. If they're in another denominational church that is not a Baptist church, I think they're wrong. I think they're missing a blessing. But as I look back and study history, Presbyterians had revivals back in early America. Methodists had Wesley and I lose the names now, but the Great Awakening and all that. And they were not Baptists. But God blessed them. We compare ourselves to other Baptist churches. And I'm proud of our church. I'm proud of our teens. I like to come to church and see them dressed up with ties and nice dresses and skirts and ladies dressed like that. Let me tell you, most of our Baptist brethren don't have the same standards. Are they any less than us? We'll find out when we get to heaven. But I know a lot of them are good, godly, soul-winning churches that are winning people to the Lord. They may not have the exact same standards. I thank God for our pastor that teaches principles. And we do what we do, not because it's thou shalt or thou shalt not. And that's what a lot of people look in Scripture for. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So everything we do, we ought to stop and think about it. Now Paul said, this one thing I do. Is my 1,000 words up yet? This one thing I do. This is all-encompassing of one's entire life. This one thing I do, but it's made up of three things here. Forgetting things behind, reaching forth on things before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First of all, forgetting those things that are behind. And we need to learn this. I was just talking to Sister Cheryl a while ago. I'm getting something in my old age that I've never, ever had. Usually, if people wanted to insult me, they had to tap me on the shoulder and say, this is an insult. And boy, for some reason, I am becoming so self-conscious of things. And things are happening, and I'm wondering, why are they doing that to me? That's a devil's way of keeping me humble, I guess. Now, the bottom line is, I don't care, okay? Because I've got Christ, and I'm going on. And if things go the way I want them to go, and people do it, fine. But if the whole world turns against me, I'm still on God's side. So I'm not, it's not like it's destroying my life. It's just, I guess I have too much time on my hands now to analyze. Analyzing is not good. But there are some things that we need to forget. Number one, we need to forget our past sins. Now listen, if we're here tonight and we're saved, I don't care if you've been saved 53 years like me, or 1 year, or 6 months. What you've done is done. It's gone. It's under the blood, and we need to forget about it. And I realize sometimes sin has scars, and we've got to live with that. But thank God, God does not hold our past against us. It is gone. Ephesians 1:7, whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Psalm 103:2, 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He's buried them into the depths of the sea, never to remember them again. You and I cannot forget. There's a song, and I won't be able to say the words to it, but it's something along this way, that I'll be glad when that time comes. That I can forget what you've already forgotten, my sins, my shortcomings. And we need to put those behind us. Don't let them haunt you, unless there are scars, unless there's continuation of it. I mean, there may come time that you need to make some apologies and some things like that, but as far as God's concerned, it's done and over. And don't worry about what God's thinking about it, because when he looks down, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to forget, and this is where a Christian life comes in, our past failures. How often have we tried something and it just didn't work? and we try something else for God, and it just didn't work. And we did this for God, and it just didn't turn out good. Well, so what? There's still a life ahead of us. There's steps to take to improve. And maybe God's got something special just over that next hump. Whatever's behind, forget about it. Forget them, but learn from them. If you've made mistakes, even after you got saved, isn't it good that when we see somebody that's saved, that's backslidden, for whatever reason, whether they fall into the sin or just become complacent or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden God gets hold of their heart again and they renew that fellowship with God. If that's happened in your life, put it behind you. It's gone. You know, we may remember it. We may think about it. But God's forgotten about it. It's done and gone. Learn from what happened and how not to let those things happen again. No one person or church is perfect. None of us. None of us. Not now. And not this side of heaven. So we forget our past sins. We forget our past failures. But let's sometimes forget our past victories. How often do we live on the past? Well, Lord, I led somebody to the Lord last week, last month, last year. And we consider ourselves soul winners. So we don't go after anymore. We need to forget that. Today's a new day. There's still unsaved people out there that we need to go after. There's always a job to do. And God calls us, whatever it is, whether it's to be a deacon, whether it's to be an usher, whether it's to be a song or a sound man or whatever it is, or mowing the grass or a prayer partner with someone or an encourager. Do you know how much your encouragement to someone means? When you put an arm around someone and say, "Brother, I prayed for you this week." I love Mrs. Ali. She sits in front of me. You know what the last thing she said Sunday before she left? She turned around and said, "Brother Joe, pray for me at 2 o'clock on Tuesday." And I put it on my alarm. 2:10 yesterday. I was praying for Mrs. Ali. She was having some kind of a surgery on her eye. It made me feel good that she realized I've been praying for her. And I've been praying for all of you. Any of you that Cheryl has put me on the church membership list and I try to add new people on, I pray for you. But I also try to come around, and I love to shake hands and put an arm around a brother and say, "I love you. I've been praying for you." And I love to have it done. You know, that's encouraging because we're family. I don't come from a close-knit family. I wish I had. I mean, my kids, I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about my growing up family. I think they just soon got rid of me when I was young. I can't say that I blame them. But we were not a close family. We didn't say we love each other. We didn't hug each other. And so, do you know how much that means to somebody? And maybe you're in the same position I'm in. And I love to do that. There's jobs to do, little jobs, not major things. There's souls to be won. There's classes to be taught. There's buses to be run and kept running. New heights to be gained. This church has not yet achieved. Paul said, "I have not yet attained, neither has this church. And neither have you and neither have I." In other words, never, ever, ever become complacent. Oh, that's so easy to do. Especially now as I sit at home. I do things at home. I've got about 1,000 sermons I've prepared in the last 3 or 4 years, and I've only preached about a couple dozen of them. I enjoy doing that. But there's still a lot of work to be done. I'm not as young as I used to be and going out and going door to door and things like that. But I never go anywhere without a bunch of these in my pocket. And down Marathon, I may not be out knocking on doors, but I'm talking to lost people that come in contact with me. People that knock at my door. People that walk by in front of my house when I'm out, where I can go out and start a conversation with them. Don't become complacent and think somebody else will do it. Because if I don't do it, it won't get done. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. Second thing now, forgetting things behind, reaching forth unto those things that are before. Personal growth. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on this because most of the messages I've preached here have been along that line of growing in the Lord and how we handle the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "Newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." The sincere milk of the Word. That means John 3:16. Forgiveness of sins. My sins are covered by the blood. That's the milk. The meat and potatoes come later. Don't stay in the milk. Don't stay there. 2 Timothy 2:15. Study. That's a verb. An action verb. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be in your word. Have the word of God. When things come up and it's questionable, and I've said this many times to people, give me a chapter and verse. Give me a chapter and verse. I don't care what man's opinion is. Now, I realize not everything is absolute and black and white, but like I said, the pastor preaches on principle, and somewhere there ought to be a chapter and verse that validates us.
Right.
Amen? 1 Thessalonians 4:11, "And that you study to be quiet and do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you." We've got our own little ministry that God gives us, whatever it is. You know what it is. I don't call you, so I can't tell you. But there is one that does call you, God the Father. And He empowers you with the Holy Spirit. And when that Holy Spirit begins to prick your heart and said, come on, get up, get going. I'm so tired. I just can't go another step. Yes, you can. If God calls you to do it, He will empower you to do it. So we're to reach forth for personal growth. We're to reach forth for personal victories over our sins and shortcoming. How often have people been short-tempered, quick-tempered, blah, 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 so on and so forth? Well, that's just the way I am. Well, change it. People don't like you like that. And we all like to be liked. So grow up and change it. You don't like people to do it to you, don't do it to other people. God gives us the victory. We don't change ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the victory comes. Then our faith expresses our victory. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith in God. If you're doing what you're doing because the pastor's up here or because preacher's somewhat pointing the finger, you missed the boat. It ought to begin in here with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And when he calls, he says, Joe. That doesn't mean that Joe. That Joe means this Joe. I'm talking to you. He's talking to me. And when he talks, I want to listen. And when I listen, I want to be obedient to what he has for me. So our faith expresses our victory. And then personal witness. We're to reach forth for personal growth, personal victories, and personal witness. You see, what the teens do on Wednesday night doesn't suffice for me. Okay? Now, there are things that we do that are second and third down the line. For instance, we give the faith promise missions. And we sacrifice to do that. And we get missionary letters, and somebody got saved in Timbuktu. Yeah, when we get to heaven, some of those people from Timbuktu are going to say, oh, you supported our missionary. Thank you that they came. And you're going to have a part. We're going to have a part. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is all about. A lot of things, we can't even begin to express all that stuff, but it's going to happen. But our personal witness, sharing the gospel in any manner possible. 1 Corinthians 9:22, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. We need to be what the world's looking for. And I understand most of the world is not looking for us. I put up. It aggravated the daylights out of me. I put one of these up in the marathon. I put them back to back, and I taped them up on the window in the marathon. I went in yesterday. Somebody had torn it down, threw it away. Nobody saw who did it. I don't know who did it. But how many people, my neighbors, and Brother Val is a bus in my neighborhood. How often have we talked to the neighbors up and down our street? And it gets so they almost walk across the street to avoid us. Well, thank God, I'm glad we got that testimony. We need to go after the lost and win them at any cost. And what's the first cost? The first cost is self-surrender and knowledge. And just putting ourselves on the forefront in the battle. None of us are going to be the greatest soul winners. We've all heard preachers that, I mean, they just walk down the street and people kind of tell me how to get saved. Personally, I don't have a whole lot of faith in that. I've never found that to be true. Everybody I've ever led the Lord, I've worked my tail off to get them. But I do realize they're much better soul winners than I. Because the more you go, the more God puts you in front of the person that's ready to be saved. Third, forgetting things behind, reaching forth on things before, Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Press means to put pressure on yourself. And when I'm preaching tonight, I'm preaching to me more so than you, but I hope I put some pressure on you. Get up, get out, get going. Put pressure on ourselves in prayer. Personal prayer, Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Watch ye therefore and pray that we can escape those things. Why do most problems come in our life? Negligence in prayer, negligence in Bible study, negligence in our service to the Lord, negligence in being here in church. Now, I'm talking to the choir tonight. I understand that. But how many are not here tonight that come Sunday that see no need to be back on Wednesday night? And I realize some of them can't. We run the buses, and it's a shame we can't run them for every service, because I think there's a lot of adult people that are coming now that probably would be here if they could. Personal prayer, and then prayer for others. I listen to WYTJ, but I also listen to YouTube and Tennessee Ernie. And one of the songs that he sings is for others, others. I don't remember the words, but I know that the song is for others. Let the things I do be for others. Don't be so self-centered. Boy, we all are. I mean, I'm the greatest guy in the world. Just ask me. Second Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always for you, our brethren, my neighbors. I sat up in the morning in my devotions. I watched two little girls get on the school bus every morning. Val and I have tried to get them, get their dad to let them come on the bus, and they just hard-headed against us. I pray every morning for Layla and Aubrey and Cooper, the little boy that's not in school yet. I want to see them saved. Grandma used to come on the bus when she was little. Dad used to come on the bus when he was little. Uncle used to come on the bus. Here, here, where the gospel's preached. Right. And now they won't even let these little ones come. I think they're afraid that they're going to get under conviction themselves. Yes. And they put hands up and stay away. But those kids need somebody. Somebody that'll love them and pray for them. Yep. And that one day they'll get on Val's bus and come to Sunday school and church and be saved. Every one of the ones I just told you, all of them told me they got saved when they came on the bus. Well, I know this. If they got saved then, they're still saved now. I just hate to be in their shoes if they go on living like that. I don't know. I can't judge them. But I'm praying for others. We need to press on in the presence and power of God. Be bold, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul said, I am not ashamed. I wish I could say that I never back off for whatever reason.
Right.
When I know there's an opportunity to witness or to pass out a track, but I let the devil talk me out of it.
Right.
Don't do that. Be bold. Spit in the devil's face by handing out a track. People at the marathon, most of them know me as Blessed Hope Man. Literally. Because I've talked to them about our church. They know that this is where I go to church. Most of them I've given a track. Over 21 years there, I've led 15 people to the Lord there that are associated with the marathon in Hymera. It's getting harder and harder because all the friends I used to have, they're all dying. And now I've got another but these young kids coming in that are so hardened to the gospel, and I cannot get through to them. I try. That's why I keep praying. And I want to be bold. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I'm not ashamed of my church. And I'm not ashamed to give a testimony for Jesus Christ. Trust God's word. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. The word of God. Why tracts? Because it contains the word of God. Thousand times more potent than even my testimony. Now God uses both, but my testimony without the word is worthless. The word without my testimony is still powerful enough for someone to read it and to get saved. That's why you ought to just pass tracts out everywhere you go. To restaurants, waitresses. As the pastor said, if you're going to do it, make sure you leave a good tip.
Right.
Don't be chintzy.
Right.
Take God's power with you. 1 Corinthians 2:5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I need it, and you need it. And when we've got it, God will use us. And then the last thing, Paul said, forgetting things behind, reaching forth in things before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's unite in service. 2 Timothy 1:8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me his prisoner, Paul said, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. 1 Peter 1:5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Why are we doing it? Because there's a future way out here that we can't see, we can't touch. But this is going to be dead and gone. We're going to be dead and gone. But there's a future. Let's unite as a body in Christ, in our effort, in our prayer, in our finances, in everything we do. In life, we will see and be known by our family and friends. I'm proud to be known as a Blessed Hoper.
Right.
I never put that down. I'm very proud of our church. I'm very proud of our pastor. I'm very proud of you, all of our people. I love you. So in our life, we're going to be united as a family. And in death, by by those we're going to be known, by those that we have had a part in their salvation. I love heritage, Baptist heritage, my family heritage. And I often think about what it's going to be like in heaven. And all my marathon buddies that are going to be there. He goes, "Come on, Joe, your time's about up." Well, I'm ready to go when the Lord's ready to take me. Connie's there. My grandma and my grandpa's there. As I'm studying my history, I think I've got a long line. I found out, Connie found out, or Angela found out, and I maybe have said this before, I'm an old man, be patient with me. But on both sides of our family, my family and Connie's, six generations back are the Starks. And from that on back to England was William Stark. I believe he was a Congregationalist. But his son, William Jr., came to America and became a Baptist. And in the state of Connecticut, the very first Baptist church that was established up there is on land that was given by William Stark Jr. I'm proud of that heritage. But that's in the past. I can rejoice over it. I can talk about it. But what about today? What about tomorrow? How long has it been since you've even talked to anybody about the Lord? How long has it been since you actually passed out a tract, knocked on door? Your teenagers can say, well, about what, 4 hours? One of the guys at Marathon, I was just sitting talking to him yesterday. He lives just north of the Marathon. He said, yeah, a couple of your girls knocked on my door a number of times, but one time. And they said, if you die right now, would you go to heaven? He said, yes, I know I would. Do you know you would? He said, they were just shocked and handed him the thing and went on. Now, I don't know if you were the one that did that or not. And I hope this guy's saved. He's not one that I've led to the Lord. And I'm not real confident in his salvation, but I keep talking to him. So how long's it been? Someone somewhere needs you that if we don't go, they may never hear. Paul said, forgetting things behind, reaching forth and things before, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Not for me, not for pastor, not for this church, but for Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you. And I pray that hearts will be stirred. Lord, give us a desire to win people to the Lord. I'm by far not a good soul winner. I try, I talk, I'm proud of my heritage. I just pray that you would lead every one of us to someone very shortly that needs to be saved, that we might be able to be the one to say, this is how. Give us power, give us strength, give us clarity in thought, give us purity in mind and in spirit and in our bodies. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.